This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. In the past month, the hotly contested 2017 Alabama special election for U.S. Senate has risen from the news grave. According to the New York Times and others, the triumph of Democrat Doug Jones over arch-conservative Judge Roy Moore was sullied by online dirty tricks, not from Russians, but from American Democrats. With tactics borrowed from Russian interference in the last presidential campaign, a group called Project Birmingham used social media to falsely associate Moore with unpopular policies. In an election with more than a million votes cast, Jones beat him by fewer than 22,000 votes. Scott Shane, national security reporter for the New York Times, broke the story last month. We called him to bring us up to date. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
There were two clandestine operations that took place in that race. Only one was actually called Project Birmingham. Would you tell me about it?
Yeah, so Project Birmingham was the effort of a small number of social media savvy Democrats. They wanted to try out what the Russians had done in the 2016 presidential election. And they went so far as to create a conservative Facebook page. They were contacted by a write-in candidate, and they endorsed the write-in candidate, a conservative candidate, to draw support from Roy Moore. And it's not exactly certain how they did this, but they appear to have either created or bought a lot of Twitter accounts, some of them appearing to be Russian using Cyrillic letters, and set them up to follow the Twitter account of Roy Moore. And that actually led to some mainstream media coverage that suggested that somehow the Russians were supporting Roy Moore.
Pretty unbelievable. Then there was a second operation, which was more devious still.
Yeah, the second one was operated only in the last 2 weeks of the race. What they had decided to do was to play on a divide among Alabama Republicans between those who basically like to drink and those who think that alcohol is a tool of the devil. So they created a Facebook page called Dry Alabama that certainly appeared to be the work of sort of hardcore Baptists against alcohol, hoping business conservatives in Alabama who don't want to see the state ban alcohol would associate Roy Moore's candidacy with a sort of hardcore Christian approach and therefore either not turn out, not vote, or vote for the Democrat. So there was Dry Alabama, and then there was another page called Southern Caller, which essentially had the same message. They were posing as extreme religious conservatives who lived in Alabama, but most of these people were progressive Democrats who lived far from Alabama.
We hear a lot these days about false flag operations, mainly insane conspiracies floated by the likes of Alex Jones, and they're easily dismissed because they're moronic. But now there is this case in which Democrats, albeit in a tiny little operation, have been caught red-handed trying to influence a senatorial election with false flags. Have I overstated the case?
You know, I wouldn't compare either of these operations to Alex Jones and InfoWars in terms of scale, but I had written a lot about what the Russians did in 2016, and I had thought about this question of would these same techniques appeal to dirty tricksters in American politics. The thing is, these operations can be carried out in a very secretive way. I learned about them both basically because insiders talk to me. If you don't have an insider who's going to tell you that, you would never know. So my suspicion is that this has been tried much more broadly, almost certainly on the Republican side and on the Democratic side. Both these operations happen to be Democrats. And I do think that that special Senate election in Alabama, because it came along, when you think about it, it was in December of 2017, the sort of exposure of the Russian operations on Facebook and Twitter and so on in 2016 took months really to come out. That took place in the summer and fall of 17. There were congressional hearings. So then December of 17, there's this very hard-fought, very important Senate election. And I think that's maybe one reason why folks decided to use it as a testing ground.
You mentioned that you'd studied the Russian interference. Indeed, you'd studied it and reported heavily on it. Another outfit that studied Russian interference was a digital consultancy called New Knowledge, which is one of the organizations that submitted a report to Congress about Russian interference. Weirdly, New Knowledge was part of this conspiracy.
So New Knowledge, as you say, is a small cybersecurity company. And I've gotten mixed messages from the people at the company, Jonathan Morgan, the CEO in particular. Initially, he told me New Knowledge as a company had no role in the Birmingham Project, as it was called. Subsequently, he has said in public statements that, in fact, New Knowledge as a company did do this work. They have been so vocal against what the Russians did in 2016, to be caught doing it themselves is, I think, pretty devastating. Jonathan Morgan's excuse is it was a very small operation, and they really wanted to just run some tests and kind of understand the whole problem of social media fraud in politics better. But that doesn't sort very well with the written report, which makes it very clear that the effort was designed to help Doug Jones win.
This sounds to me like researching airport security by hijacking a plane. It doesn't sound like an entirely academic pursuit.
You know, in talking to the people who were involved in both of these episodes, I've detected two competing theories. One is the Republicans are undoubtedly doing this, and therefore, the Democrats have to do it too. But I also heard from people involved in these operations who had deeply mixed feelings, and certainly people outside who were quite horrified and fearful that we're really going to have a kind of race to the bottom with folks on both sides to make Facebook and Twitter into completely unreliable sources of political information.
Well, certainly Democrats have lost some, if not all, moral authority on the subject of manipulated elections. And they've been playing the moral authority card through the entirety of the Mueller investigation. It seems to me that the political damage here is incalculable. But try to calculate it.
As you say, even though these are very small operations, total of 200,000 budget out of $51 million, dollars spent on that Alabama Senate campaign. Once you do something like this one time, it's a label you're going to carry around forever. And even though this was not the official Jones campaign or any official Democratic element, they're all going to probably have to carry the burden and trying to not be hurt by it.
If I were the Democratic National Committee, my very first move after issuing a pro forma statement of repugnance for this kind of conduct would be to take some portion of my 2020 war chest and to try to track down similar activities by elements of the GOP. If they do that, and I assume they will, do you expect them to have any luck? Or for that matter, do you expect your phone to ring with a similar kind of story from the political opposition.
If anyone listening to your show wants to get in touch, just scott.shane@nytimes.com. You know, what this reminds me of somewhat is doping in sports, where if you're an athlete and you think your opponents, your competitors, are going to be doping, the pressure's on you to use steroids or other drugs as well. But it's similar also in the sense that it's very difficult and a very technical issue to detect. To look at the Dry Alabama Facebook page and somehow deduce that it was a false flag created by people who undoubtedly, you know, are fond of drinking, it's just not evident from looking at it. So you have to get behind the scenes, probably either working closely with Facebook in that case, or somehow penetrating the operation, getting somebody to talk. My guess is, based on talking to the folks who did these projects, that there were a bunch in the midterms. And hopefully we'll learn more about it and maybe draw some lessons on how you prevent it.
Well, blood doping analogy well taken. Unfortunately, as a voting American, I feel like the dope.
There have always been dirty tricksters going back many decades in American politics, but moving it on to Facebook and Twitter, Facebook in particular, where so many Americans get their news about politics, I will never again look at an American political page on Facebook without wondering, hey, you know, is this what it appears to be, or is this done by the other side?
Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Scott Shane is a national security reporter for the New York Times.